Support for the Closing Market Report podcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview. Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Today we're going to get in the Wayback Machine. We're going to go back 20 years to the summer of 1993. I drove a CU Mass Transit District bus to the Illinois River with a group of volunteers who were sandbagging at that time to hold that river back and to save some farmland and houses. We'll hear about that. We'll also talk, of course, with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises about today's futures markets. And we'll look at the cash grain segment with Matt Bennett from TGM. And it all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's check the numbers in Chicago at the CME Group at this hour. September futures in the wheat pit finished the soft red at 637.5. They were up 7 cents at the end of the day. December at $6.49.5, up 6.75. And next year's July at $6.67.25, up 5.75. September corn futures settled at 481.5 today, 16.75 higher. December at 472.25, settlement price up 17 cents. And the March at $4.84.5 in the corn pit, up 16.25. May futures 492.5, up 16. And July at $4.99, up 16.25. December contract at $5.83, 14.5 cents higher. Beans finished the September at $12.88, up 18.75. November at $12.65.5 for the new crop, 26.5 cents higher. In January, 25 cents higher, $12.68. March contract, $12.60, up 20.25. The May at $12.46, 13.25 higher. In July, beans up 12 cents at $12.48.5. Next year's November at $11.90.5, 0.75 cents higher. Bean meal futures at $4.09.80, up $1.90. And the bean oil, 78 cents higher at $43.12. Live cattle futures, October contracted $128.10, that's 7.5 cents lower. In the December, $128.87.5, down 12.5 cents. September feeder cattle at $157.75, 37.5 cents lower. In December, lean hogs, or rather October, $87.30. They finished down 85 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day, September contract, $107.28 a barrel, up 43 cents. RBOB gasoline, or wholesale price, at $2.98.1, that's 0.2 cents lower. Ethanol futures at $2.25.5, up 4.9 cents, and the difference between those two is now 72.6 cents. That's 5.1 cents narrower than yesterday. Natural gas at $3.41.2 is up 7 cents for the day. Diesel fuel at $3.07.4, up 2.6 cents. 0.6 cents. Gold futures $1,361.10, a settlement price up $27, and the U.S. dollar at 81.17. That's 0.54 lower on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Partly sunny skies, a high of 74 degrees on an east wind at about 5 miles an hour. Partly cloudy this evening with a 51-degree low. Mostly sunny tomorrow and 77. Partly cloudy on Friday evening and 55. And mostly sunny with a high near 80 by the time we get to Saturday. On a northeast wind at 5 to 9 miles an hour. Partly cloudy on Saturday evening and a low of 59. Sunny skies on Sunday and 82, partly cloudy on Sunday evening and 62. And on Monday, to start the work week, sunny skies and 84 degrees. Monday night, cloudy and 65. Tuesday, sunny and 86. And on Tuesday evening, partly cloudy, a low of 67 degrees. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 88. We'll try to take a more complete look at the weather forecast closer to the bottom of the half hour.
Support comes from the Black Dog Smoke and Ale House, serving barbecue, beef brisket, pork shoulder, ribs, chicken, and more, slow-cooked over a wood-fired smoker. Support comes from
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're, of course, listening to Illinois Public Media. It does come to you from willag.org. It is the 15th day of August 2013. I am Todd Gleason. This is the closing market report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
On the phone line with us for this Thursday is Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. So, Dan, I saw this morning that the United States Department of Agriculture, FSA, the Farm Service Agency, released, I think, some numbers, but I'm not sure that they released all of them, and I haven't been in the office because of Agronomy Day here on campus, that dealt with prevent plant. It looked like there was 3.41 million acres of prevent plant, but they were divided only between soybeans and wheat. I didn't see a corn number. I don't know whether this was the reason the market went higher or something else. What did you see?
Well, that was one of the reasons. Yes, the prevent plant numbers, of course, they're not complete. These, I think, are as of July 15th, and there'll be revised data as you go on into, they'll get another one here August 15th that'll be released, and then maybe September 15th. So this is going to continue to change as time goes on, as farmers certify their acres. But the prevent plant numbers, they're hard to interpret and then try to incorporate whether or not they've been counted for in USDA's June survey. And then, of course, USDA did shave off 500,000 bean acres there on Monday's report. So, but just a quick blush glance at them, one could probably say that there's maybe a potential that corn acres could come down a million acres, maybe more. Who knows, that bean acres could come down a half a million, maybe more. We don't know for sure, but I think those numbers did help fuel today's rally. I think today's rally was mostly fueled by the inability of yesterday's collapse in the corn market as the market reacted sharply higher to USDA's crop report, and then yesterday, or Tuesday, the market collapsed, and then Wednesday it was stable, and then today we was able to rebuild on it. There was no downside follow through, and we were able to kind of close sharply higher. The beans, of course, was leading the pack yesterday. They've kind of been the leader all week. They did lose a little bit. But for the week, everything's higher, corn and soybeans. Technically, the bulls have it. The technical action would suggest that the fundamentals, as we go down the road, are going to be more price supportive to corn and soybean prices. So that would kind of indicate to me that maybe crop sizes are going to come down, crop production is going to come down. The market is worried about this, the next 2 weeks here being kind of a dry and warmer type period here, with the late crop needing really a good Corn Belt rain here. Probably a last half August rain is probably more critical today than it ever has been in history, because we got such a late crop, and the weather maps indicate that we won't probably get that. And then there's getting a lot of second guessing, I think, on the Illinois crop size. So I think there's a lot of rethinking that, you know, maybe the crop might not be quite as big as what everybody wanted to make it here before the report. And clearly the trade was very, very bearish and geared up for some pretty big numbers.
So we're up, what, a dollar in the last six trading sessions, I think, in November soybeans or something along those lines. Technically, what's changed in that picture for you over those last six trading days?
Well, we're back above the 50 and 100-day moving average, which is we went down below those levels way back in July 24th when we had that hard break right on down into the August 7th, and now we're back above it. I kind of view this little midweek setback that we had from 1240 down to 1213 as a midpoint. Take the midpoint of 1226 and then swing that off of this 1162 low that we made during August 7th, and it says 1290, which would be right at the 200-day moving average. And we had several highs up there. We had kind of a consolidation phase in the 1295, 1297 area on the top side, and the bottom side, it was kind of in the 1250. So I think we're going to go back and try to test those highs that we had in there. If we go through them, then I think the door really opens up then for a good solid test of 1333 was that high that we had back in May.
All right, and then on the technical side for the corn, what do you see there?
Well, we got an outside weekly reversal up going,
right?
And I respect those enough to say that I think that is clearly a very important low in the marketplace. We'll need some technical confirmation, some strong follow-through next week on it. If we would get that follow-through on it, I think people might, as a technician, I would look back and say, that's it. We're now in a sideways to higher trend as we go on into harvest. And I think beans had their reversal up, weekly reversal up last week. And then, of course, we had strong follow-through here this week. And actually, November beans are in excellent position to close out the month of August with a monthly reversal up. So I think technically the market is set up to turn some heads as we go on into the fall months.
Anything else before I let you go?
No, that's, I think, probably bullish enough. We got a convoy going here, Todd.
Well, march it forward, baby. March it forward.
Go forward.
Okay. Hey, thank you so much. That's Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Let me take you back in time now to the summer of 1993. It was the Great Flood on the Illinois and the Mississippi River. You may not recall that volunteers from all over the United States and from right here in Champaign County loaded up and headed for those two rivers to try to hold back the mighty Mississippi and to keep the Illinois from spilling across the dikes and the levees. They sandbagged and they hauled and they pushed and they moved and they sent their prayers and their finances to the middle part of the country. I traveled with a group of volunteers that summer and recorded why they were going and what they did. I thought it'd be fun to go back and listen to that story today.
I used to live in California, which has a lot of disasters, so I thought, as long as I'm here and there's a disaster, it'd be good to go and help people out.
My husband and I took a trip down to St. Louis to see how bad it was about a week and a half ago, and I just remember seeing an old man sitting up on the side of the street with everything he owned around him, knowing that, like, probably the insurance wasn't going to cover everything. It didn't look like he had a wife or anybody to turn to for help. So I thought that I would come down and try and help out and try and make a difference.
And I woke up this morning and thought, I have so much. I'm one of the luckiest people in the world, and if I can help, that's why I'm going.
I just quit my job, and I'm unemployed, so I can't send money. So instead of that, I think I'm going to go, you know, try to help out manual labor.
I have a six-year-old son, and he's here with me today. And for me, it's a way to show him that he should help people when he can and to teach him so that as he grows, he'll help others.
Because I seen the reports and it was really awful because people have their houses, have floods all around their houses, and it's bothering them because they don't want the water to get inside their houses.
Okay, directly in front of me is a pile of brown sand with lots of sticks sticking out of it, and trees, lots of trees, and lots of people, men with shovels, women with bags and gloves, everybody just bagging, lots of sand.
I'm holding sacks open so this young man can put sand in it and this young man can tie him up.
I fill the sandbags. I take the shovel, get some sand, fill the sandbags.
Well, we have people holding bags open. Another person shovels 2 to 3 bags of sand in the bag. And then another person ties the bag, throws it in a pile, puts the sandbag in the truck, and away we go.
We're taking a truckload of sandbags to behind Bill Smith's tenant house, which is down in the northwest corner of our district. There's prisoners down there that will unload the truck, and they're taking them downstream on boats and four-wheelers to where the sandbagging points are. We farm about 1,000 acres of just beans, corn, and occasionally wheat. And we have a hog farm operation also. Several hundred hogs. That's basically what we do. We use some of the corn we grow to feed our hogs. The last time this district flooded was in 1926 when the creek levee broke. And the river levee's never broken. But no, normally we don't have any flooding problems. 1973 was the last time the river got this high. And we've surpassed that, of course.
Came over here to the levee, and the truck was going to bring some sandbags and throw them off by hand. And when we backed up, we got a sight that there was probably 30, 40 prisoners, maybe 50. And they were just throwing the sandbags probably more than a normal person could. And there was guards around telling them, you know, just to get into a cadence and to get into their system of the way that they were supposed to do. And really, they were a great bunch of guys because they just minded and listened to what their man said all the time. And now they're moving on down to another section of the levee that is supposedly weak, and they're going to try to get it more secure.
I'm in Dixon Springs Boot Camp, and I'm here to help the people with the flood. We're here to pack sandbags, fill sandbags, make levees, repair levees, do whatever it takes to stop this water.
Lunch today was one slice of ham on a sandwich, and it was a good lunch. Good lunch, all you could eat and drink. We had a good time.
We get the food from the Red Cross. We were getting the food from the Red Cross out of Quincy, but now we're getting. They've transferred us to Alton, and it's real good food. We have a cold lunch, a sandwich and fruit, potato chip, and snacks. Any kind of snacks they want. And then for dinner, we have a hot meal, fruit and a hot meal. It's usually some kind of a barbecue or a stew or, last night we had spaghetti and it was really good. We order 250 meals a day. And lots of times in the afternoon, we'll get a call from the levee that they haven't eaten. So we get busy, maybe we'll fix up 35, 40 sandwiches and potato chips and a fruit and a drink and take it to the levee for them. And this is a garage, And we have fluorescent lights, we have a ceiling fan, and we have a large fan back there that the food's stacked in front of, and but it does keep the air circulating. And I think that is someone's speaker. I believe that's someone's in a band or something, so we use that for our table for a drink. And this is, what do they call those? With a that they carry things on?
Pallet.
Pallet, yeah, a pallet with some plastic over it that we made a table. And over here we have paint buckets stacked with two boards. That's where we take care of most things. We're not set up to wash dishes or anything. We just, everything that we do, we throw away. It's disposable.
Chick Spangenberg is my name, and I've lived here in the bottom since 1949. I just retired last year, but I still live just a couple of hundred yards up here. And this is just amazing, the people that's come in here to help. I just can't get over all the volunteer help that we've had here. And without the volunteer help, originally the volunteer help before the National Guard got in here, the volunteer help helped save the district. But they were completely wore out by the time the Guard got here. If the Guard hadn't got here, I don't think we could have done it, because they were just completely exhausted by the time the Guard got here. Now the Guard's here, and we're back in pretty good shape. And one of the mistakes we've made here, we should have had everybody sign in when they came in. They've came in here from Chicago and Wisconsin and Champaign and Indiana, and then just... you name it, and there's people volunteered and came in here and drove many miles to get here to help. I can't get over the fascination. That really gets me, of all the volunteer help. It restores your faith in humanity. There's no question about that.
Well, thank you for going back in time with me a bit to 1993, the Great Flood. 20 years ago this summer, along the Illinois and the Mississippi rivers, here in Champaign, you might recall that the Assembly Hall parking lot was filled with people that were filling sandbags and trucking them over to the Illinois and the Mississippi rivers. Thanks to the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District, who I was moonlighting and working for at the time, I volunteered and drove that group of volunteers over. If you know anybody and recognize a voice, let them know you heard it again. I would appreciate that. And it does restore your faith in humanity. And thank you again for listening with me to a story from 20 years ago.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Well, hey, take WILL with you anywhere you go. If you have an iPhone, an iPad, an Android device, the new WILL app is free. You can listen to our FM or AM station on it, listen to past episodes of all your favorite programs right there on demand, and much more. For more information about how to find the WILL Radio app in the App Store or Google Play, visit our website. The address is willillinois.edu. Of course, you can always go to willag.org to find all of the agricultural programming that's posted there not long after it airs on our radio stations. Back in 2 minutes, Pete Levitt is away. We'll talk instead with Matt Bennett. He's at TGM in Windsor.
It's National Lemon Meringue Pie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1794, Ellis Fries was born. A Swedish botanist, he developed the first system for classifying fungi. In 1796, John Torrey was born. An American botanist, Torrey did extensive studies of North American flora. He was the first professional botanist in the New World. In 1835, C.H. Farham was issued a patent for a hand-cranked rotary washing machine. In 1911, Crisco was introduced by Procter & Gamble. Crisco is a hydrogenated shortening made from vegetable oil. The new process produces shortening that stays in solid form year-round, regardless of temperature. The first advertising campaign trumpeted the all-vegetable shortening as a healthier alternative to cooking with animal fats and more economical than butter. And in 1914, the Panama Canal was officially opened when a ship sailed from the Atlantic to the Pacific Ocean. The canal crosses a small mountain range with a series of huge locks. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this 15th day of August, a Thursday afternoon, Agronomy Day here on campus. If you were out at Agronomy Day, thank you so much for taking the time to come and see us. It was a great morning. I really did appreciate everybody who made it out, and hope you had a good time visiting with all the folks that helped to produce research and outreach for the people of the state of Illinois. On the phone line with us now to take a look at the cash grain market is Matt Bennett. He's from TGM right here in Illinois in Windsor. Good afternoon to you. Thanks
so much. Good afternoon, John.
Well, tell me about cash basis, how things are changing, what's different this week than last. It seems to be a pretty quick and fast-moving target.
Oh, it is a quick and fast-moving target. I think the thing that really surprised us this week, we had a couple of bids on the rail that ended up jumping 30 to 40 cents within 48 hours here in the last couple of days. So depending on the processor, you know, we've talked about this for the last 3 or 4 weeks. I think regionally speaking, the basis could get extremely interesting.
Hey, wait a second. So when you look at the futures markets, and December contract did manage to rally, are you telling me that maybe this is as much old crop based as it is new crop, or am I just misreading what you've said?
Well, I think that there's a little bit of both going on. I think, as I've kind of indicated in the past, maybe not everyone's needs are quite met like they have thought. And then when you look towards the new crop, obviously there's a lot of chatter going on out there that, you know, the USDA, maybe they're on to something. Maybe if you go ahead and you see these acreage drops, if you throw those into 154 yield, I mean, you're looking at a substantially different situation than what we were thinking even 10 days ago. Mm-hmm.
So if you throw the FSA's prevent plant acreage in and you start to say what was the number for corn, because I don't think I saw it today, you start to come up with some different numbers.
Yeah, I mean, they're talking another 3.5 million acres off of corn planting, you know, preventive plant. It's not complete yet. They say you know, they're not actually 100% complete with that. And last year, there wasn't as big a response from the USDA as what the FSA indicated. So we don't know this for sure, but we have substantially more acres that they're indicating were labeled preventative plants. So, you know, if we end up with anything near that 3.5, I think it changes the ballgame just a little bit if you assume that that yield is going to be the 154.
Yeah, so if we look at the December contract, then we're playing catch-up a little bit from Monday's report to the 1.8, whatever it was, I don't quite recall the number, on the carryout for the 2014 crop. And then you take a few more off, maybe, because we haven't counted enough prevent plant acres yet.
Right. You know, if you take another 3 million acres out, you know, that's, what, 450 million bushel potentially.
Yeah.
You know, that gets a little more interesting. And then we also have, obviously, a lot of concern. You know, Drew Lerner talked a little bit today about maybe a little more likelihood for a mid-September frost than what he was thinking earlier. And so, you know, it just gets a lot of heads, you know, kind of turning a little bit. Maybe that the course that we were on here in the last couple, 3 weeks wasn't exactly the right thing.
What are your bids for the day?
Okay, we're looking at cash corn 612 and fall 452, cash beans 1416, and fall at 1245.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That's Matt Bennett. He's with TGM in Windsor, Illinois. He joins us to talk about the cash grain market on this Thursday afternoon. You can hear him again. You might want to. At willag.org. That's willag.org. We post all of our agricultural programming there in its entirety. Visit us online at willag.org. You have a great afternoon. I'm Yovi Extension's Todd Gleason.